Take care of my sheep. John 21:16. Okay, that's a bit of a cop out. I'll go back a little, because that's just, I mean, take care of my sheep? That could mean anything. I mean, in John 21 alone, we have quotes, feed my lambs, huh? Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. There's a lot of sheep feeding and sheep taking care of going on. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I don't know what he's referring to. These? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep, which I assume is implied with the feed my lambs, but whatever. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him for the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger and dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Well, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who was going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them was written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Sorry, that's John 21:15 through 21:25. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez. Sorry for the late episode, but we are beginning the Gifts of the Spirit series this weekend, and I really wanted to take the time to make sure I'm kidding. I got caught up with other things. Gifts of the Spirit, the first Gifts of the Spirit from 2021, only a couple of years ago. Caring. And what did we lead off with? A whole bunch of Bible. Not just feed my sheep, not just feed my lambs, and not just take care of my sheep, but a big chunk, a story. Jesus talking to Simon Peter. Frankly, I think they were really just focusing on the feed my sheep part, because that's kind of the only relevant part to the story we're about to discuss. But other things that are relevant to the story we are about to discuss is a little thing I haven't talked about in quite a long time called continuity. That's right. This book is a mass, or I might even say a morass, of continuity. There are characters introduced in this book. There are characters forgotten about in this book. And we have to come to grips with the fact that we are operating on so many different timelines at this point that it is impossible to make them come together. This is beyond Grizzly Gramps and Grizzly Gran having two separate meet-cutes, depending on which continuity you're following. This is on par with, I don't know, the number of Power Girl origin stories, Supergirl origin stories, Wonder Girl origin stories there are in history, and the branchings off thereof. Because not only do we have the original rhyming book continuity, which is its own thing. Not only do we have Brothers Dream World, which is the educational books that take place in kind of an abstract universe. Not only do we have the original first time books continuity and the chapter books and the Scouts chapter books. Not only that, not only do we have the storybook continuity, the Saturday morning cartoon continuity, the PBS cartoon continuity, I guess the stage continuity. Not only that, we also have the Living Lights continuity and the weird Living Lights chapter book rewrite continuities, which change the story so they are their own continuity, a world in which cigarettes become candy bars somehow. But now we have what I assume is the Random House religious line continuity. And I don't know if these are going to be as tied in with the Living Lights faith story books, because that set up its own thing. That brought in characters from the chapter books, that introduced some new characters, but right off the bat, Gifts of the Spirit Caring is shaking things up in Bear Country. For the best, for the good. But first, let's talk about caring, because what an abstract concept if you really think about it. Caring. What does it mean to care? What does it mean? Caring. Caring, is it an attitude? Is it an opinion? Is it passive or active? I guess is my big question. To care, you can care about something. I care about the environment. But you can also care for the environment. I care for the environment. But you can care for the environment in two ways. Do you care for the environment? I care for the environment. Like, I'm fine with the environment being around, but you can also care for the environment. You can say, okay, here's an easier one. You can say, I care for my mother. And that can either mean, I am fine with my mother existing. I'm a little more than fine with my mother existing. I care for her, sure. Do you care for that clerk at the grocery store? Nah, I don't really care for her. That could be taken several ways, but let's go back to the mother. Do you care for your mother? Yeah, I care for my mother. Yeah, she's fine. Or do you care for your mother? Yes, I have to feed her, and I have to get her in and out of bed, and I have to help her into her chair, and I have to help her dress in the morning. So you can care for something, I have a general sort of like low-key concern for their health. Or you can actively care for something. Like, you can care for a patient. You can care for your parent as you would care for a child, which is kind of the point I'm about to make. Caring. So it's an interesting choice to focus a book on, because what does it even mean to care? What is the value of caring? How is that a gift to your spirit? And how far are we taking the gift of caring? One interesting resource when it comes to just sort of the philosophy of caring, and yes, there is a philosophy of caring, Gene Watson, who is and was and is a nurse, and then got her PhD, a master's degree in psychiatric and mental health nursing, and a PhD in educational psychology and counseling in the 70s. She developed a philosophy and wrote a book called Nursing, The Philosophy and Science of Caring, which was then revised a few times and updated. And according to what is referred to as Watson's Philosophy and Science of Caring, philosophy and science of caring has four major concepts: human being, health, environment, society, and nursing, because she's a nurse and this was written for nurses. But nursing, take that in general, I'll get to it. So she refers to the human being, and I'm getting this from nursingtheory.org. She refers to the human being as a valued person in and of him or herself, I guess, or themselves, to be cared for, respected, nurtured, understood, and assisted. So to define caring, you have to define what a person is that you're caring for. And that is a person. So a person is a human being is a person who is the value. I'm having trouble for this. Being human, you inherently have a value to be cared for by others. And that includes being respected. So which encompasses being understood, I assume, listened to, understood, respected, nurtured, and assisted. In general, it is a philosophical view of a person as a fully functional, integrated self. Human is viewed as greater than and different from the sum of their parts. So a human being, a person, a full person, is not just their mental or physical or social functioning. They are the entire thing, the whole deal. The idea, of course, being that in nursing, the philosophy of caring is that you're there for the entire human. It's a holistic approach to nursing and treatment. And so the nursing model, of course, promotes health, prevents illness, caring for the sick, restoring health. And it is a big, you know, she's a big advocate of holistic health. So there are seven assumptions to this model. And I'm just going to mention the few that that pertain to us and not specifically to like hospital work or nursing. Caring can be effectively demonstrated and practiced only interpersonally when we're dealing with another person, like not caring for the environment, but like caring for another person. Caring consists of curative factors that result in the satisfaction of certain human needs. So by definition, and by this definition, caring is not an attitude, it is an action. And that action involves ensuring that another person is meeting their basic needs. It promotes health in individual or family growth. It's accepting a person as they are now, as well as what they may become. And I like that. It's the compassion and the listening and the understanding there. That involves, to me, encompasses the notion of just, and this is a very Berenstain Bears thing, accepting who a person is, but also acknowledging that a person is constantly changing, and you will accept who they are and who they might be. A caring environment is one that offers the development of potential while allowing the person to choose the best action for themselves at any given point in time. So, yes, it's you surround a person with the ability to grow and the ability to develop themselves while caring for them, but also, of course, be who they are. And then we get to science. It's complementary with curing, and it's central to nursing. So I find that those seven assumptions, specifically the first five, as pivotal when it comes to defining what it means to care, to be a caring person, to be a carer, to be a caregiver. That's big. That's profound. So there's 10 curative factors, but the first three are the philosophical foundation for the science of caring. The formation of humanistic, altruistic system of values, which begins at an early age with the values shared by the parents. The system of values is mediated by the carer's life experiences, learning gained, and exposure to the humanities. And the humanities are. It is perceived as necessary to the carer's maturation, which in turn promotes altruistic behavior towards others. So the big deal here is, one, your values are altruistic and humanistic. You are concerned about the human being, and you are willing to give of yourself to care for them. And I like that they say that begins at an early age with the values shared by parents, because that's very Berenstain Bears. That's very much the parents trying to impart onto their children through action the value of caring. The second one is the installation of faith or hope, which is essential to the curative and curative process. When modern science has nothing else to offer a patient or a person, a nurse or carer can continue to use faith or hope to provide a sense of well-being through a belief system meaningful to the individual. This flashes back to the book we discussed with Ferdy Factual, Being an Atheist. The cubs were confused, and Mama and Papa were quick to point out that Ferdy Factual's belief system, his trust, the value he puts in science and the observable universe is meaningful to him. Therefore, it provides him a sense of well-being. They respect that. That's that respect. As carers, though, they are ready to install faith or hope, because faith is more based on just a general sense of, I believe this will be, you know, hope. I don't know. Faith and hope are different. Because when your plans basically fall through, when things aren't going as you wanted them to, when modern science has nothing else to offer, this isn't the case of, you know, like a nurse. But when you know, your plans have fallen through, when you don't see any logical way to your objective or through the day, having something there which offers you a sense of well-being, whether it is your faith in a God, whether it is your adherence to the scientific principle or anything in between, that's necessary to be a carer. And if you are a carer, a caregiver, a caring person, one who cares for someone, helping them hold on to that, not your belief system, but theirs. Three, the cultivation of sensitivity to one's self and to others, which explores the need of nurses or carers to feel an emotion as it presents itself. This one's complex. The development of a carer's own feeling is needed to interact genuinely and sensitively with the people you're caring for. By striving to become more sensitive, you become more authentic. This encourages self-growth and self-actualization in both you and the one you're caring for. Therefore, you can promote health and higher functioning only when you form person-to-person relationships. So those are the three philosophical foundations of the science of caring. There's seven others, but they all derive from those three. So we have the humanistic altruistic system of values, which are personified in the Berenstain Bears. We have the installation of faith or hope, which is personified not only in our Living Light stories, but in all the Berenstain Bears books. There is always hope for the future. There is always trust in our neighbors, trust in our family, trust in our children, trust in our morals and our values. Those are big ones. Those help us not only deal with problems in the here and now, but see a future that is attainable and accessible to the entire community. And the cultivation of sensitivity to oneself and to others, which is necessary to promote caring, because you have to understand your own feelings, which is what these books, the earlier books especially, are all about. Understanding that, you know, being in touch with how you feel. Therefore, so you can interact sensitively and I like that it says genuinely with other people, the people you are caring for. This is caring. This, to me, the philosophy of caring, the philosophy and science of caring, are what I needed to understand in order to approach this book. Because the concept of caring is so abstract that I couldn't get my head around it. So as I approach this book, the first gifts of the spirit, caring, and what a beginning! Like what a beginning to start with. Which is what you do with all beginnings. You start with them. Caring, this three-point philosophy with seven assumptions. You have to demonstrate it. You have to practice it with other people. It has to result in the satisfaction of basic human needs. It has to promote health and growth in the family and in the individual. You have to respond to the person you're caring for as they are and accept what they may become. You have to create an environment that allows the other people to develop and be the best person that they can be. It has to be complementary to the science of curing, which isn't really necessary here. And it's central to nursing. So caring is caring. So let's jump into caring. What is caring as a gift of the spirit? Jesus apparently told Simon Peter, take care of my sheep, take care of these lambs. What did he mean by that? I think he was talking about people. Not really sure. And it won't really come into play here because I think the story itself is going to spell out what they mean by caring. So big news in bear country. The bear family gets a call, and who is it? It's Ned. Who's Ned? We'll get to who's. Ned has big news, though. Aunt Min has been pregnant. Who's Aunt Min? Why, Aunt Min is Cousin Fred's mother. Don't you know? Don't you know who Cousin Fred's mom is? Don't we always talk about Aunt Min? Aunt Min has been in like five books previous to this. I mean, maybe more at this point. I've skipped ahead quite a bit, but we've covered about five Aunt Min books, and they are going to cause us no end of confusion in 1 second. Because Min is now in the hospital and she's given birth to a baby. She had her baby. Cousin Fred is now a big brother, and it's a little girl. And what did they name the little girl? Theodora. And they're going to call her Teddy. Now, let's pause for a second. Theodora. Theodora is a well-chosen name. It's Greek. It's the feminine form of Theodore. And translated, it means, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Greek, it means God's gift. Now, here's something interesting. I did not know this, but there's God's gift, but there's also a name that means gift of God. And the reason I phrase it differently is because one is God and then the word gift. One is gift and then the word God. And we use both of those names and they are inversions of each other. And I never knew this before. But if you listen to them back to back, you're like, oh, one is just the same name, but kind of turned inside out. Theodora and Dorothy. They both mean God's gift. And they are mirrors of each other. And I was kind of fascinated by that. I just find that very, very fascinating. I also love that if you look up Dorothy, In Wikipedia, you get a picture of Dorothy from The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. Theodora, however, you get a picture of the 6th century Byzantine Empress Theodora, who is one famous bearer of the name. And also the Wicked Witch of the West was named Theodora in Oz the Great and Powerful. And Mila Kunis played her. Congratulations. Good for you, Mila Kunis. So the baby's going to be named Theodora, which is beautiful, but they're going to call her Teddy. So she's going to be a real teddy bear, as they say. And this is fascinating because, yes, Teddy is short for Theodore or Theodora, but we had a book not terribly long ago, within the last couple of years, in which a bear in the Living Light series, a bear cub moves to the school and he is named, they call him Teddy. They call him Teddy Bear. And this is a source of great mirth and humor and hilarity for the cubs. The fact that this kid is actually named Teddy Bear. Because as I noted in that episode, in order for Teddy Bear to be a funny name, teddy bears would have to be a thing, which means that Bear Country had to have had a president named Theodore Roosevelt or Rosa Bear or whatever. That president had to have been well known for hunting a people, I guess. That president had to gain additional fame for choosing not to kill a child, I assume, in a political cartoon. And then the child that the president had spared had to become a mass-marketed doll. That's the only way Teddy is funny to these children. Otherwise, it is just a name. It's just a name. I don't know why, but it's not funny to them anymore. So this is the second part of this has to be a separate continuity from the other living, from the Living Lights, because all of a sudden, Teddy Bear, not a funny name. Also, it's spelled differently. It's spelled with an I now. So they hop in their red roadster. They pack up food and gifts, and they go to check on Aunt Min, who is back from the hospital. And who rushes out to meet them at their red roadster? Why? It's Uncle Ned and Cousin Fred. Wait, who? Uncle Ned and Cousin Fred. Who? Well, you know, Cousin Fred's dad. Ned? Oh, that's funny, because I thought Aunt Min was married to Uncle Louie. In The Berenstain Bears and Baby Makes Five, she's married to Uncle Louie. But then again, she's also married to a guy named Willie, who's definitely Fred's father in one of the books, Uncle Willie. Unless you're talking about the cartoon, in which she's married to Artie, and also her name is Dottie. What I'm saying is Fred's family members are many and varied, and Aunt Min may have been married a number of times in the past. Uncle Artie, Uncle Willie, Uncle Louie, and now Uncle Ned. There's just a lot of different uncles. And I'm not sure which is which one and who is why and where we're going with this, but we're talking branched continuity here because this is contradicting itself in some pretty major ways. But back to the story at hand. So Uncle Ned, and I swear we've had a Ned before. Hold on. Have we had a Ned before? We've had an Uncle Ned before. Yes. So apparently in the Living Lights books, Uncle Ned has gotten in, was in the Berenstain Bears Get Involved. We've also had Naughty Ned, who's a different character. I'm just going to believe that one of those adult Neds is Naughty Ned. I'm going to I assume that at some point Mike changed Uncle Louie or Uncle Willie or Uncle Artie to Uncle Ned and just decided in the religious books, he's Ned. In the religious book, that's all we're going to worry about. He's now Ned. In the Christian world, Min never fell in love with Louie. She never fell in love with Willie. And she and this is where the continuity gets really whack because Min is Mama's sister, right? Married to Ned. Now in the cartoon, the PBS series, Uncle Artie is Papa's half brother. Grizzly Grant in the cartoon, and this is a little bit of continuity I've never gone into because I don't deal with the cartoon that much. Grizzly Gramps had a son with a previous wife. So get back in your chair. I know you just stood up. In the PBS cartoon, Grizzly Gramps was married before he met Grizzly Gran, and he had a kid named Artie, I assume Arthur, who marries a woman named Dottie, and they have a son named Fred, who's known as Cousin. This Cousin Fred in the cartoon is genetically completely different from the Cousin Fred in the books. An absolutely different child. Does not share blood with anyone. You can wonder, you know, except insofar as the bears all share a common ancestor. I just had to get that out of the way because I don't know if we'll ever get to Uncle Artie in this show, But the Artie, Willie, Louie, Ned conundrum is huge. And I would love to explore it more, but I think I've explored it as much as there is. It's just a name that is given to an uncle every once in a while. And they finally settled on Uncle Ned. I personally prefer Artie. I think that's a good uncle name. But in any case, they're all very happy. Even Honey Bear is happy. She's running and jumping, putting her fingers in her mouth, as a child is wont to do. And Brother's excited for Fred, because he's like, look, now we both have little sisters. So they go inside to visit, and Aunt Min is holding little Teddy, who is asleep. It's a very tiny cub. You know it's a little girl cub, because she's got a ribbon around her head with a flower on it. And this is kind of another one of those books about a new baby. It diverts itself into the new baby and the baby make five thing, where they sort of talk about what a baby does and is. Newborn babies sleep most of the time. They only wake up for feeding. The baby starts squirming, and Aunt Min's like, oh, she's going to be asleep for a while because she just ate. We don't see if Aunt Min bottle feeds her baby or nurses her baby. They just leave all that out. That's fine, you know, one way or another. But I'm glad that they don't come down on either side of it for this book, because usually in kids' books, you just see a bottle come out. But, you know, they're bears. I assume that they have breasts. So Aunt Min lets Sister Bear hold the baby. And she's like, yeah, and your older brother can show you how it's done. He has experience. Cousin Fred now has experience. Sister holds the baby. She gets very excited because it's such a cute baby. And here's a little development. So now we're entering the character development part of the story. Not only is Fred has no part in this. He's just sort of standing around. But so Fred is going to now have to step up his game. Remember when Brother Bear had to step up his game 8 years ago when I was covering those early sister books and Brother was like having stress and stress dreams about taking care of a sister because he was so worried about his new sister? Well, now Fred is having to step up, be a big brother. But he's out of the picture. Brother gets to hold Teddy, thinks that Teddy's really adorable. Honey touches Teddy's toes, points to Teddy and says, baby. And then she says, honey, not a baby. And Papa's like, oh, no, you're a big cub now. And there's our character development. So Mike is clearly drawing a line in the sand with the birth of this baby. And he is saying from here on in, Honey Bear is an active cub. She's no longer the silent toddler. I mean, she's been talking for a little while. But now she is, this is our thesis. She is not a baby anymore. You can't talk to her like she's a baby. You can't treat her like a baby. I can't refer to her as the baby. She is a child bear, right? She's the third sibling. I don't know what her personality is. We could have a, we need to talk about Kevin's situation on our hands for all I know. Now they go to the chapel in the woods. There's Preacher Brown. It's time for her baptism. Again, we don't really know what religion they are, but it's Bear World, so religions could have developed in all kinds of ways. Preacher Brown sprinkles water on her as a sign that she had become part of another family, a loving, caring family, a family of faith, which is an interesting way to talk about baptism. It's a symbolic gesture. There's no mention of washing away sins or anything in this book. Simply that it's a symbolic gesture showing that you are now part of a greater family than just your own, a bigger family, a wider family, a family of caring people. And then Preacher Brown shows little Teddy, Rafiki style, to the entire congregation. And he says, let us welcome the newest member of our church family, little Theodora, Teddy Bear. Then Teddy punches Preacher Brown in the nose, which is funny if you aren't familiar with the history of the Berenstain Bears. Makes sense if you are. Babies punch people in the nose. That's how it works. Sister bopped Brother right on his nose the first time he met her. And he says, ow, Teddy's certainly making her presence felt. Then everyone laughs and wipes away happy tears. That's the book. I want to point out that besides the five-word Bible quote at the beginning, where Jesus is just like, take care of my sheep, no Bible quotes are mentioned in this. This is just a book about a new baby. The only religious aspect of it is that they take the baby to church to get baptized, which is just an action they do. The point of the book, and they don't even spell this out, is that the gifts of the these are books about gifts of the Spirit. Basic, these aren't even values. These are like fundamental human qualities. Like, I assume these are things, and I do desperately, dearly want to interview Mike about these. I'm assuming that these are all qualities that you need to carry forward in your life. These are philosophical ideas that can shape not only who you are, but how you interact with other people. And I'm going to go back to that nursing page, the philosophy and science of caring and say that one of the values, one of the core foundational carative factors, one of the first three carative factors is, the first of the seven assumptions that you have to make in order to practice a philosophy of caring is that caring can be effectively demonstrated and practiced only interpersonally, which is the core of this book. So they take baby Teddy to church. She gets baptized, but the big important part is that Preacher Brown presents her to the congregation and says she's now a part of this whole family. She's part of our family. And what Mike is saying is that this means that she has an extended system of people who actively will now care for her. They will practice caring and demonstrate their caring with her interpersonally to help ensure that she meets her basic human needs, that she remains healthy, that she is allowed the potential to develop into the person she chooses to be, and that she is accepted by the community for who she is now, as well as who or what she may become in the future. Caring, an altruistic, humanistic system of values, essential use of faith and hope, and a sensitivity to one's self and others. We see that practiced here. We see the faith and hope. I mean, this is, they have it. It's in their church. We see the humanistic and altruistic system of values in that she is a part of this extended family, and a sensitivity to oneself and others. Mama and Papa demonstrate their caring in order for the children to take it into themselves, in order for the children to share it with others, and learn who you are along the way. A phenomenal first book in the Gifts of the Spirit series, Caring. And what a great one to start off with for us. I think this is the order they came out in. I'm not sure. I love it. If you're interested in learning more about the philosophy and science of caring, you can get Nursing, The Philosophy and Science of Caring by Jean Watson. I also looked up some other books for children, just about the notion of caring, because I was like, what else is out there? What else is out there that sort of expands on the idea of caring? That where you can talk with your children about this, the questions you can ask, like, what does it mean to be caring? That's what we really talked about in this episode. Read a book and describe the character's caring actions. That's the big thing. Like, what are they doing that show they care? In what ways were they caring? How did their caring affect other people? And what are the consequences of a lack of balance with the caring? If one person isn't caring for another person and vice versa, how can they be more caring? Why is it important to be more caring? What could a character have done to be more caring? And here's a big one. Why did a certain character find it difficult to be caring, if that pertains? Like in this book is a little more prescriptive. It's not showing a lot of conflict here. It's more just sort of a day in the life, a little like a pastoral scene of the bears. But there are many books that deal with conflict with caring. So if you're looking to discuss a caring attitude and identity, it recommends An Extraordinary Egg by Leo Leone, a very famous children's book author and illustrator. Anita and the Dragons by Hannah Carmona promotes imagination, immigration, thinkers, reflection, worries, and courage. Be Kind by Pat Zeitlow Miller, which reinforces themes of empathy, friendship, skills, thoughtfulness, and kindness. And it looks like there's a lot of atonement in this, like doing something for someone after you've accidentally done something to hurt them. Big Bear Hug is about social awareness, nature, problem solving, and enthusiasm. And it's about a bear who really cares for a beautiful tree and takes action to protect it. The Big Umbrella by Amy June Bates. And it's about the main character is a big umbrella. It's about acceptance, kindness, tolerance, and sharing, using the umbrella kind of as a metaphor for caring in many different ways, and how there's always room for another person under this protective umbrella. Birdhouse by Blanca Gomez, which reinforces a actively caring attitude, intergenerational relationships, and respect for living things. It's about nursing a grandmother and a granddaughter, nursing an injured bird back to health, specifically about nursing in that one. There's a bunch more, but I'm just going to end with The Digger and the Flower. It's about a digger who's on a construction site, cuts a flower down, and feels responsible for destroying a flower, so the digger salvages the seeds and travels far away to plant them on the hill and care for them as they grow. That's about responsible decision-making, compassion, and social awareness. That is caring in the past. Like, that's another atonement. You've done something to hurt something, and now you take on an actively caring position in order to atone for it. There's a bunch of books here. This is on childrenslibrarylady.com under caring books, picture books about caring and thoughtful attitudes. It also has things to look for in books. Why picture books help when illustrating these things. It's a great resource. Got a ton of books. The list just goes on and on. So check that out, childrenslibrarylady.com. Check out, if you're interested in Nursing, the Philosophy and Science of Caring, but definitely check out the Berenstain Bears Gifts of the Spirit Caring. We got some weird continuity stuff. We got some great character development. We got a whole new character in Teddy. We've got a developing character in Little Honey Bear. We've got a weird new uncle who I guess has been around before, but this is our first time. He's definitely been identified as Min's husband, and I've taken the time to pay attention to it. We learned a little bit about the cartoon and its weird alternate Fred parents continuity, and we got to know each other a little bit better, learn about caring. So if you care about me, share this episode far and wide. Let people know about caring. Just share it. Share it on your Facebook. Share it on your Twitter. Share it on your Instagram. Share it on your Mastodon. I don't care. Share this episode. Let people know about it. It's a good book. It's a good philosophy. Tell people about me. Tell one person about the show. Say, there's this guy who's been doing a Berenstain Bears podcast for 8 years. Check him out. You can also check out Pizza Toast. Christy and I are on the Hunger Games books. We just reviewed the last of the Ridge Tridge. We're doing the final movie series. We've got a few more Hunger Games tricks up our pockets, sleeves, in our sleeves, upper pockets, in our pockets, and up our sleeves. And on It's Del Toro Time, I am doing a bunch of short stories with Willow from The Dark Descent by David G. Hartwell. We haven't done an episode in a couple of weeks, but we'll be back soon. She's just got a lot of stuff going on at college. So we're there. That's at It's Del Toro Time. But you can find this show on Twitter at BStainBearcast. You can find me on Facebook at Deep in Bear Country of Berenstain Bearcast. You can find us on I have a YouTube page. It's just Phil Gonzalez, where I post just little clips from It's Del Toro Time and Pizza Toast, and I have a few from this show as well. So if you just want to get a little sampling of what my shows are like, just go to Phil Gonzalez at YouTube and check out some of those clips. I've posted a few on various pages, but they're all on YouTube, so check those out. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for taking a little time out of your day, and thank you for waiting for this episode, which was a little late. And I'll see you all next time, deep in Bear Country.